Fuck the world. Just so
Do we want to unpack this or no? This is not like an unpackable thing.
it should make some great first segment content.
You okay? Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton,
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. Non, like, recording off the record. Are you okay? What happened?
I had to listen to Monster Mash. No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay,
Welcome. Yeah.
welcome.
Welcome, everybody. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday, except for a few people.
We're in a very weird space right now, everybody. First of all, happy Halloween.
Happy
Happy
Halloween. Yeah.
episode one of our Halloween extravaganza, which is just two episodes of our show. That made it like not really an extravaganza, but
It's very fun. I do enjoy this time of the year, especially via the podcast.
yeah, this is we are a highly seasonal podcast. I had a pumpkin spice latte this morning from a local coffee shop, and it wasn't good and made my stomach hurt. So yeah, just drink coffee.
Don't drink too much coffee. Don't drink pumpkin lattes apparently now. Wait, can you give the exact location? Where you
One was fine. It was a good pumpkin latte. I don't want to
Your
blow up their
stomach
spot.
hurts though. Okay. All right. I
Okay,
appreciate
here's what's happening,
support
everybody.
local businesses. Yeah.
Rob came into this podcast in a mood, and I'm okay
I'm in a
with
mood.
this.
All right.
I'm okay. Like I was going through my checks to make sure we're recording correctly, and I was like saying out loud what I was doing so I could keep track of it. And my guy, he
I
shut me
don't need
down.
your narrations. Yes. But I apologized right after it.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. You're not good at being in a bad mood.
No. Who
You're
is?
there are people who are very good at being in a bad mood. They don't apologize for the bad moods immediately after. You're like both aware, you have a double sight. You're looking at
Yeah.
yourself being in a bad mood.
A little bit of
And
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yeah.
I am very Halloweeny. I appreciate you. I
Dr. Jekyll,
am
Mr. Hyde, isn't that Halloween-y enough?
That's what I said. I said very
Okay.
Halloween.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Buddy, I said very Halloweeny. I appreciate you. You need to calm
I do. I do. I do. I'm sorry. I'll get it together, everybody. I'll get it
No,
together.
this
I'll
is
be happy.
fine. I'm okay. I want you to live your truth this podcast. Happy Halloween, by the way. We were talking about the song Monster Mash, which was
Yes.
my idea,
Yes.
and my partner is stoked to the gills.
It has nothing to do with Monster Mash. Very fun song, very enjoyable novelty tune. I'm more upset with you because you got me in this league.
Okay, can I say something real quick? If
Sure.
this bad mood, if this mood we're talking about, like, give me a rough percentage. Is this like 80% fantasy football?
I'll give it 60.
60. So there's
I
40% of just life that is added to
exactly.
this.
Yeah.
I'll allow
But
that.
that 60% is weighing heavy.
But this mood being 60% fantasy football, buddy,
I
I
don't...
don't know what to tell you.
How is this lining up? So far in this league, I have lost the first game. We happened to do a podcast that day. Won the second day. No podcast. Lost the third day. Podcast. Won the fourth day. No podcast.
I think
Getting my ass kicked again while we're doing the podcast.
People are like who know you and or just like listening to the podcast semi-regularly. Thank you very much for doing that, by the way.
Absolutely.
I think we're all discovering this edge to you because I don't think you've ever been this upset while recording.
Don't like it. I
You have
don't
gotten
like it.
served during recording this podcast before. You have gotten served legal papers. You were in a better mood after that
Way to yeah, you're right. I literally got
And you were like joking about it. You were cordial. You were
What's
very
sad is you said you've gotten served, and immediately I went into fantasy football.
You're out. I'm kicking you out of this league because I love you and I care about you.
No,
You're
I'm in.
done.
I'm in for the long haul, but this is just this is what to expect. So
oh my god, I was gonna ask you about your favorite Halloween candy. I have like a lot of seasonal fun little things to get into. My guy is not having it.
It's
this
just candy. Any
it's
candy.
Just, it's just
it
candy.
Has nothing
okay?
to do with Halloween. All right, Twix is just a candy.
See, I don't like Twix. I'm not a fan. Chocolate for trick-or-treating is not ideal.
Okay. See, you're already... All right, fine. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
I can't do this with you. I can't do this with you. This is insane. I'm probably Laffy Taffy. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, Smarties was a go-to, even though it's like chalky,
this
not
is actually,
tasted good.
This is actually a big one for me. Do you like candy corn?
No. Nah. Well, okay. I should say this.
Okay.
Have I had candy corn?
What?
I think I have purposely avoided it because the overall like oeuvre, the like the just the color, the smell. I think the smell and the look, the fact that it looks like wax. I honestly don't think I've had it.
Never? Okay. Interesting.
So
my challenge to you before next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Try one candy corn.
Here's my question. Can I buy literally one piece of candy corn for like a nickel?
No, the answer is no.
It's just, I feel like if Maybe. I buy it, it's like, so now I'm like, I have a bag of candy corn. It's a big bet, man.
Well, what does Casey like candy corn? Casey is Colton's wife.
I'm looking at you because I'm like, you know Casey enough by now. That's a no.
To know, why would I know her taste?
Her favorite, you know what her favorite snow cone flavor was when she was little?
Oh God!
Ice.
Lay it on me. Ice.
This is my favorite story about my wife. When she was little, and her preschool would take them to get like shaved ice, she would ask for shaved ice. No
That's
syrup.
That literally, it's not a snow cone then.
I think. Well, technically, it's. I didn't know this until later on that there's a difference between the two. I didn't know this, but either way, no flavor, no syrup.
Pretty sure that's just snow.
She likes snow, man.
I like. Okay, no, I don't like snow anymore.
I don't know how to like go further with that question. Is this a like a mood thing where like there's something related to fantasy football that's snow related?
No, let's just avoid fantasy football for.
I'm trying. I brought
the foreseeable as I lean over to check the score.
I asked you about Halloween candy. You were like, fuck off. I don't care about Halloween candy.
I'm just bad. But the reason I asked it for candy corn is because I know it's such a polarizing opinion. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it pineapples on pizza?
Yeah, which is okay.
Amen. Thank you. And that's all I was really looking for, because I've gotten ridiculed for going like, candy corn's fine. I'm just like, no, it's the freaking worst.
See, it's almost like peeps it in Christmas or Easter time, right? I know the minute I say peeps, it pops the mic. And I'm saying, isn't it ironic that pop itself pops the mic? Like, I can't even say that. I'm trying to say, like, when you record and you don't have a filter, which I never do. And so I'm trying to, like, put the pee out the side of my mouth.
It's an onomatopoeia, for sure.
Yeah, but it's like the peeps of Halloween, I think. It's just the easily denigrated candy. I'm going to say I haven't had it. Maybe I will, but...
That's my challenge. Do me a favor, buddy. I just need a win.
Okay. You need this. I'm going to give this to you.
I will Zelle you a few bucks just to buy a bag of
You don't have to lie to me. It's okay. We don't have to do this dance. Come on, man.
I will mail you 20 bucks.
We don't know how to do this part. Oh my god. So we are going to talk about Monster Mash, and I know that's going to be in our second segment, but I want to just kind of quickly address this was like a like from the hip. I want to do something Halloween-y themed, and I'm sorry. I think I'm sorry. And not in a way where I didn't enjoy myself, but I am befuddled by this song.
I've spent most of this afternoon trying to figure out what I can say to feel philosophical about this novelty tune.
I think I have things. What's I don't know if you found the same Wikipedia hole that I did, where I am more fascinated by the afterlife of this song and all the sequels that he tries to write after this, which I find fascinating.
1984 was a bad year for this. Now, you enjoyed this song. Well, but Colton sent me, and by chance, I checked my email.
Yeah, thank God.
This is very, very rare for me.
For everyone involved. Yep.
Yeah, and I was just like, what is this monster rap that Colton wants me to check out?
I don't hate it. I know hopefully you're playing it right now so we can appreciate the... And this is not the only one. He has Monster Holiday. There's Monster... Yes. I can't remember the other one.
I can't... Because Monster Holiday was the one that I almost, you know, like, put in my crosshairs. You know, like, okay, that's the Christmas song. Bless you. See, how does it... The audio didn't pick up, so I just said bless... Bless you, Colton.
I have a mute button on my mic. That's what radio DJs do. They have the cough button.
Dude, we're not radio DJs. Just
I'm trying to be professional.
You're right.
I was out watering my garden. I got pollen everywhere. Also, I think this is a good Halloween-esque thing I want to remind people of. Growing pumpkins is extremely difficult. Like,
I can only imagine.
Like, to the point where I wonder how any pumpkin ever gets actually grown. It's
how
crazy.
Long does it take?
I think I planted way too late in the season. Like, initially was like, wow, it'd be great to have pumpkins for Halloween. And I think I planted in August, which I think usually what I've read is probably more like a July, more of a midsummer kind of a deal.
Especially for Halloween.
I think so. I think these may be Christmas pumpkins is my, if at all. I got it all lined up, man. I got my scary movie set up. I have my... Nice. And I didn't... Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you what your favorite scary movie is.
Have we talked... Maybe we haven't talked about this.
I don't know.
You have a very... Like, you've seen that scene from Scream, right? Your voice sounds like...
It was...
A voice change.
Yes, it was supposed to be kind of a reference to that.
I feel like I'm walking on eggshells with you. Everything I say, I'm kind of like, oh, is Dad upset? Like, I don't
know. No, I'm fine. Oh, wait, no, I'm not fine.
Yeah, you won't look at your score, man.
I know.
I think we were talking with Max, actually, and we were bringing up, because Max actually helped me in trying to figure out what my Halloween picks were. And what was funny is, when I brought up the movies I like to watch for Halloween, he was like surprised. Like, he didn't know that I like the kind slasher of horror films that I like. Yeah. Like, my go-to is always House of a Thousand Corpses. I think I've mentioned that on the pod before.
Yes.
But that's my, like, your Muppets Christmas is my House of a Thousand Corpses. Like, every Halloween.
Very similar flicks.
Terrifier 1, 2, and 3. Although 3 is more Christmassy.
I'm not familiar.
They are not for you. You won't like them. They are very
violent.
Not necessarily,
because like my favorite scary movies are like I really loved Saw. The first one. I never watched any of the 25 others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I liked Strangers.
I would love. No, I'm thinking about this. I would actually somehow love to for us to watch. I think Terrifier 2, and if anyone listening to this pod who is aware of these films, maybe you can email us at no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com.
Check that box. Here we go.
We can talk about whether or not we think Rob would like Terrifier films. I want to share this with you if you think you would. They're very pulpy, very like silly, but very violent. Like, violent to an extent where I think if you're the last like 5 minutes of Saw, you're on a good track. But what if the last 5 minutes of Saw was 75% of the movie?
Okay.
That's where we're tracking.
Okay. I get you. Yeah. So like that's where the action is, or the, I guess. Yeah. Action. Screw it, I'll go with action.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's the funny thing about horror films, right? It's like the kills for a certain audience, it's like the creativity of the kills. And what I always appreciate is like the craftsmanship, that it's not CGI, that it's like special effects. I mean, John Carpenter's my favorite horror film director, and that's like a penchant.
What are his films?
Well, The Thing, number one,
Okay,
right? But I mean,
okay.
Halloween, for sure.
I
He
love The
directed
Thing.
Halloween.
Halloween was fine.
I mean, God, man. Escape from New York. Ghosts of Mars. Well, I don't know why I bring up Ghosts of Mars before others, but I like it. I appreciate it. He's a very genre kind of guy. He's done a lot. But he is like kind of pure 80s. He does all of his soundtracking too, which I thought was very cool. He's a musician.
Dude, that's something I tried to get in the spirit for this episode, and I tried throwing on a horror film to like fall asleep to, and that's what I realized. I'm like, oh, music goes a long way because of music. I finally had to go like, I have to stop this because I'm trying to fall asleep and the music is giving me the heebie-jeebies.
It is. I mean, we are going to talk next episode about Nightmare Before Christmas, and
Scary.
I'm excited. Have you seen it yet? Not yet. But I'm excited to talk to you about that soundtrack for kind of the same reason I'm excited about Monster Mash a little bit. This is like similar to our Christmas episodes we've done, where we're trying to figure out like what the heck makes a Christmas song successful. Like, are they actually good, right? Was I think the question we had for those episodes. And my whole question is like, why is Christmas the only holiday that we accept the fact that we have like multiple songs that everyone writes, and yet for Halloween everyone's like, no, just the one.
It does seem
You
like it's
only
just
have
the
one.
one. And I mean, other people have tried. I mean, there's a reason I have my Bel-Air Will Smith shirt in the background because he does have the song, what is it, the Halloween on something street? I can't remember, but he has a Halloween song.
You're correct. A lot of people have. And I think sometimes it's less about like they're not trying to make a Halloween song, but it is like, so in Phoebe Bridgers' Halloween, right?
Sure.
It's not her trying to like get in on the Halloween Monster Mash pie. Will Smith, yes.
Yeah, and you, fittingly, you mentioning Phoebe Bridgers, I have to bring up Ryan Adams. He also
Yeah.
has Halloween head,
Go figure. Yeah. And
but nobody's playing that as like, oh, this is our novelty Halloween song.
no one's bringing up three, and it's like, oh yeah, Halloween night. Let's watch. Let's listen to three. Listen to Halloween, which I don't. Should we do three? I don't know. That band is weird, man. I can't get a handle on that
I'll
band.
tell you this much, we're not going to do their discography.
Think that's very fair. Man, I feel like I don't want this first segment to feel overstuffed, but the only other thing I wanted to like bring up with you. I'm a fan of our podcast.
Oh, same. Well,
Like,
kind of.
do you listen to us though, like in your off time?
I have, yes.
And I don't know like what the shit, I don't know how other podcasters feel about like if that's like wearing your own band's t-shirt to play a show. I don't know like what the rules are.
Which I have done.
You very purposely, I think that was our first show.
Yeah. It was definitely in protest of the idea.
Which is also the same show where I threw a drum a stick out into the crowd and nailed a girl that we had come with, like a vaguely a friend. I had met her that day, and I threw the drumstick and nailed her in the eye. And there's a video of me doing it and going, ah!
Yeah, Colton did it on purpose. He played baseball. You know how to throw to a target.
I appreciate you giving me that much credit. I felt very bad, but this is all to say. Yesterday, I was doing some work and I was listening to our Tom Petty episode, which is literally a year from today. Like in that episode, we're talking about amping up for Halloween. We are talking about game one of the National League Division Series, which it was weird how similar everything was. Like I did the same thing. I didn't watch game one. I like tuned in, I had the score up, and I avoided it. And I was like, man, time is a
It was a
flat
good game.
circle, man.
It definitely, history rhymes. May not repeat itself, but it gets really close to
Yeah,
it.
you should listen. If you have not yet, I would listen to that episode. I think what I think is hard about this podcast sometimes is when we come in with an artist and trying to explain what it is either that we love or that we have issues with. I think some artists, it's harder to do that than others. And sure. And I don't know if I'm always successful. Like, even if it's a band I really like and I'm familiar with, I don't know how successful I am at trying to get across what is like the thing or several things that click that I think yeah. they're doing. And I think we did a good job in that episode.
You know, we have some bangers and some duds, but that's also just that's just also self-reflection. I think I was telling you for the previous episode, I hope everybody listened to it, the Be Your Own Pet episode. It's mm-hmm. definitely up.
Banger, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But when we finished that episode and I listened to it a few days later, just doing my pre-listen right before editing, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm an idiot. Now, to be fair, that can still hold true.
In all these shows, you save us in the edit.
Are we doing Thanksgiving right now?
No, I'm just saying you do a good job. And I'm also saying it because this opening segment needs you. So I'm hyping you up. Be like,
I appreciate you do it, buddy. I feel much better. Hey, I'm up to 30%.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this. This is sick. And I did this, everybody.
I got some numbers in green. All right. Actually, I feel a lot better. Not because of you, unfortunately, on this one.
That's fair.
I'm not getting my ass handed to me right now in fantasy.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, everyone. We're going to come back. This is like a great, like, Know Your Rights Halloween special. I'm going to give Rob the Christmas spirit or the Halloween spirit.
And I'm going to scare the hell out of Colton.
I'm scared right now. I've done to you. All right. Take it away, Blamley.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseball and Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to The Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of The Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball and Entertainment podcast.
Do you mean do this? I'll do it when we come back. How about this? Okay. Welcome back, everybody. I was asked specifically to do this, and I think this is going to save segment two. Rob, what do you think the Yankees and Blue Jays score is for game two of the division series?
So I know game one, the Blue Jays blew them out.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
And I mean, the Brewers brought out the Cubs. It was not – the first two games of yesterday were not fun to watch. The last two – well, one was. Another one I did not watch.
One was really fun.
I'll watch the Mariners play the Tigers all day because I have nothing for any of that. But the Dodgers, yeah. I don't need that poison in my life. They're in the sixth inning right now.
Okay, so let's see. I'm just going to speak from the heart.
How about, what if I give you the hit totals and you can guess from there?
Okay.
That might give you a more of a, so we're in the top of the second. Actually, mid second now. Or no, I'm sorry. Okay. What am I doing? We're in the middle of the sixth.
Thank you. Okay.
The Blue Jays have 12 hits. The Yankees have 4 hits.
Well, that already bummed me out. I really wanted them to get no hit. I'm going to say that the Blue Jays have 75 runs and the Yankees have 0.
I would love to see that math going on in your head. I feel like you were like a beautiful minding it. You're like, dude, boo, 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 boo. It's 12-2. Very, very efficient.
Yes. The Blue Jays please beat up the Yankees, Blue Jays.
They definitely are.
I hate the Yankees.
I know you do, man. I wanted to cheer you up. There we go.
It worked.
That's the Halloween tradition, to feel better because of the failures of others. And with that set up, everyone, We have.
If I could strap down the Yankees, the entire franchise onto a table, and torture them, I would.
Oh wow! It got dark.
The franchise, not any person, just the franchise, the embodiment of the franchise.
This got dark. Very got dark. Real
Happy
early,
Halloween.
Everybody. Happy Halloween. Oh man! So. What's funny is when I chose this song, and even if you go back to that episode, everybody, it was from our Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody episode that I picked this out, which is a great episode.
I think so, too. I've gotten a lot of compliments for it.
Oh, nice.
Or we have. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say it's nice to share, isn't it? That's nice. I had to look up, after I said it, who wrote and performed it, because in my head, it's just the guy named Boris, because he even says in the song, his name is Boris. And
yeah,
I had no idea. You knew who Bobby Pickett was, though, when I brought it up. How?
Fake it till you make it.
Oh, I see. That was a lie.
That was just a trick. It was a trick.
You were good. I mean, here's the thing. Looking up his career, though, it's fascinating, right? What he did. Like, he was... I don't know how exactly to like explain what I think his career was. And I think people who are more familiar with him, I know he has a biography out, which I actually am kind of interested in.
We should have probably checked it out. Yeah.
It's I don't know if I'd read the whole thing, but I would be fascinated. He is really like, this was kind of his bag. Like, it was novelty songwriting for sure. He's a comedian, but I thought it was like dipping into all sorts of topics. He was kind of a horror dude. Like, he did like Karloff impersonations and so many versions of this song into the 80s, which we covered, right? The monster rap.
Yes.
I think there's a way of seeing that as like a kind of a tragic thing. Like, it's like the success he never recaptured. I don't see it that way. It seems pretty great.
You found some success, and especially in a medium such as entertainment, just grasp onto it. Like, I love The Office, and Rainn Wilson, I remember saying, like, I'm paraphrasing dramatically here, but him going like, no, I have no qualms with people typecasting me as a Dwight type of character, because Dwight got me a career.
Yeah.
And so this is his legacy. And I mean, a lot of people still think that it's Boris Karloff.
It's so funny. I think I can't remember which of my parents mentioned that when I asked them. I think that speaks to something I'm interested in trying to understand with you, which is how this song feels so, like, even when I said it, I was like, nobody wrote this song. It oozed up from the earth. Like, this is one of those songs that feels just kind of like,
well, it's
of a
like,
piece.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, when you hear, what is it? Bobby Pickett and Leonard Capizzi was the one who was like, oh, we should do something with that Boris Karloff impersonation.
Right.
And there's so many things that, like, they wrote it in less than an hour. I'm like, is that supposed to be impressive?
I there's something I think is a part of why I find this song eerily good. Like, I don't like my whole, here's my vibe today. I know sometimes I don't know how I feel about a song until right before I talk about it with you. Mm-hmm. I am struck by the craft in this song, like, in a way that I wasn't expecting. I am not prepared to tell you, wow, this is amazing. This is, you know, but
okay.
Like, we've like talked about Christmas songs before, and I've come away from that kind of being like, why though? Like, certain songs, it's like, what is it? Right.
Gotcha.
I am actually, and this is like of a whole, like everything, right? I'm way more impressed than I thought I was going to be coming out of it. Cause I was expecting to be like, it's just the gag. It's the quote unquote novelty of it all.
Okay.
But I think there's something there.
In the musical composition as well?
I think the composition's a part of it. I mean, I think that part of it to me is more just being smart about what you're pulling from, like the doo-wop of it all. I mean, it's like, it's all about like the mashed potato, right? That's the other thing. It's like, this song is...
Yeah, mashed potato. Oddly enough, based off of the chord progression, Crocodile Rock.
Yeah.
I was playing that earlier today, and somebody was just like, oh, you're playing Crocodile Rock. I'm like, no, these are just the chords for Monster Mash. And all of a sudden I went back and listened to Crocodile Rock, and I was like, holy shit, they are the same chord, essentially the same chord progression.
But don't you think, how I feel about this is easier for me to take this song more seriously and give it more of what I think are some flowers, because it is so obviously not taking itself seriously. The songs that bum me out the most are songs that come in with like a higher sense of themselves. And I'm like, but you really shouldn't. Like, what are you doing?
It's how comedy works. You have to be all in on the comedy. And this is almost like, I don't like Jim Carrey comedy, but that dude dedicates to this comedy. In this instance, there's that dedication to where, it's weird to say dedication, but it's just going like, don't lose the nuance of humor within this song.
You have to be all in. I think that's a part of it, right? You have to be all in. And if you're not, the whole thing just kind of falls apart. In the past, we've done this like chronologically, right? Kind of working our way from the beginning to the end of the song. Yeah. I'm prepared to do that with you.
I was working in the lab late one. Hold on.
I'm going to try something. I'm interested in, like, if we're looking at this like composition wise, like almost from the ground up, like we were just talking about the music, right? I want to end on the vocals and the songwriting, like the lyric writing, because I think that's the most unique and interesting, right?
Okay.
Like, this is 1962.
Yep.
So this songwriting is, this isn't like pastiche, right? This is like contemporary. Like I think there's some 50s doo-wop, right? Where it's slightly nostalgic.
Sure.
I don't know how to phrase this. Good? I don't know. Like...
of the time, sure, but I mean that's where doo-wop gets a little difficult. Doo-wop is very blues-esque, to where there's kind of an already formulaic approach to constructing a song.
And you have more of a taste, right? And I'm asking you really more sincerely, because I think I've been on record that the doo-wop songwriting of the 50s, I have less space for. It's too leaning towards like the kind of pop sensibilities that always kind of lose me, but
gotcha.
It's funny. I know we talked when we did the Ellis Dunes, Ellis Dunes of it all, right? Their doo-wop song, the shibby doo-wop, Anthony Green fiasco. I think what we got to in that part is like, take it seriously, right? Like take the song seriously, and it can work.
It does. And I think the issue I had, I can't remember. Everybody go back and listen. You can email us and let us know. But I'm pretty sure that my biggest issue is like, not your voice, dude. It's way too much Anthony Green doing shooby-doo-wop to it. I'm like, you gotta get the Crypt Kickers 5.
Yeah.
Behind you.
I think they are the singers, right? I know I'm skipping ahead, but they're the only singing happening. And they're what gives this melody, right? And
absolutely. I mean, it's what kind of, it's a glue. It's a weird glue to it, because I was trying to listen to it earlier today and try to tell whether or not he was actually singing within the notes. Like, all right, how good is his singing on this? I know that's absurd, but I was just trying to dissect it from a musician standpoint. And I stopped, because it does just come down to the they did the match. Like, that's what's going to keep it musical as far as a vocal aspect, or, you know, accurate as far as the vocal melodies go.
But it's like the little like, da, woo,
sure.
Da. There's something, again, my whole issue, I think, with doo-wop is kind of what I think this song excels at, is it is so about melody and so about like, just the vibe, the cheerfulness of like what that kind of background singing does. And it's like, I could take doses of that. Like when it's in the time of things, like I think a good example is like Little Shop of Horrors, where like that sensibility, right? That like 1950s retro sensibility. I'm in, man. Like there's something
absolutely
about that. I think it can become a good template. I think there's a, how do I put it? Like, there's a layering to that. Like, I've never done backing vocals well. Like, I've never, and I think people are really masterful about that stuff.
I disagree a little bit, but that's fine. I think you've done some excellent ones, especially on Cocky Tree.
And I mean, I think what I have done, I've ripped from other people. I'll put that much. But I do think that there's something about that sensibility. And it is what kind of gives it the, like the party vibe. Otherwise, this is just a dude making voices.
Well, and you kind of, when you brought up Little Shop of Horrors, one of my favorite musicals, I was really impressed by the song where I'm like, there's no imagery to it, or there's no video to it. You know, this song does feel like it's supposed to be part of some sort of goofy musical.
Which is wild, right? Like, this is, yeah. I think already my plan to like do this one at a time is falling apart because this song is resists analysis actively. It resists analysis, which is so
yes.
there is more of a narrative to this song than I was expecting. I think the choice to make the music so repetitive and just such a like a canvas for this is so smart because one, it's a dance song, right? I think it's the whole point is it's the mashed potato. It's just do the twist, man.
It's a cliche chord progression behind it, which, yes, of course, Colton, I learned the chord progression.
I know you did. I love you.
Yeah, it is, what is it, G, it's definitely in G major. I think it's G, C,
I
learned
it, but A minor?
No, I don't think it's A minor. It's
is it B, maybe? I'm guessing. I'm just going
I'm sorry. It's G, E minor, C, D.
Oh, wow.
Or the main portion of it. So that's
all
doing
the chords that were not in the song.
but so it's doing the one, the major to the relative minor to the five chord. Oh wait, no, to the four chord to the five chord.
I mean, it's Stand By Me, right? Do. It's a rarely. Yeah. There's something about that progression, though. They're like
it's a very traditional progression that is tried and true, works all the time.
That like high to low, and just works your way down, and then it goes back. Oh yeah,
I would say "Stand By Me" is a much better song.
That's fair. I'm willing to accept that. I'm not going to confront. I do have something I want to say at the end of this that I think will upset you.
I'm just hoping that we remember it, because in the Be Your Own Pet episode, everybody, Colton and I keep saying, well, we'll do this later. We never do it later.
We never do. Well, no, this I know for sure, because I have bookmarked this as the potential end to our friendship. And so I am like,
you keep trying. We'll see if you're successful this time.
No, but I think this is one of those songs where it being a novelty song, right? Like the whole idea, like what are, like, and I even like, we keep referring to this novelty genre. What are like entries in that genre? Is it like this, all of Weird Al Yankovic, Disco Duck from Rick
Christmas songs in general.
Okay,
Ghostbusters. You know.
So are theme songs novelty songs?
To an extent, I think the term novelty, at least the way I identify with it when it comes to songwriting, is like it's for something very specific. To where if I'm listening to maybe somebody like Connor Oberst, I'm just going to take it as songwriting. As opposed to where if I listen to Weird Al, I want to be like, grain of salt here. Like there's no judgment coming in from my end. If I heard, like when I listen to the Monster Rap.
Yeah.
Which is playing again in the background, everybody. I'm so sorry.
Of course it is.
Yeah. But I'm not going to treat that like Tool's fourth album or fifth album. You know, I'm not going to go like, oh, this is so stupid. Why would Bobby Pickett do this?
Talking about
again?
Fear Inoculum, everybody. Yeah.
Fear. Oh, da, da, da. But I'm not going to judge it like, oh, what are you doing, buddy? Outside of he's just trying to keep his career alive, which I'm sure that's what Maynard was doing as well. But like with a Bobby Pickett type of situation, I'm like, all right, this is just continuing the silly. It's continuing the novelty. Why am I going to get so...
And it's endearing, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting to me about that is like even us right now, right, where... What difficulty I have in trying to like analyze this song, you could argue it's like, I mean, when you listen to Weird Al, it's like a good Weird Al song. I think there's a formula for it, right? It is how closely it sticks. Like the music has to be authentic. And what's interesting is I think in this case, it's true. Like there's nothing about the music that is like satirical, right? And I think we know there's a version of that that could be when they're playing up, like if it's like a doo-wop, that 50s doo-wop, they could play up certain parts of it to make it sound ridiculous. Like they could have the backup singers saying something funny or doing something that makes it ups the absurdity. And they they play it straight. And I think that's with Weird Al, like, what's I've always thought, and like I've heard people say, is like he has like an amazing backing band, and they are like learning Certainly. These songs like perfectly, like to
they're,
a T.
They're a cover band, you know, and that's what makes a song like Monster Mash Tour. Yes, it's very derivative from mashed potatoes, you know, Monster Mashed Potato.
Yeah.
With Weird Al, it's like, okay, the band's doing their thing, and I was always impressed that I'm like Weird Al was able to cover songs where I'm like, you have to be able to at least sing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he pulled it off plenty of times, but he also had the luxury of silliness, Tori. You can kind of take yourself out of being a singer or you know, or sounding great. As long as you just get close enough and you say Amish Paradise instead. But I mean, this is the, I think, again, it's overanalyzing, but whatever, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. This is good because it's still an original. You know, Monster Mash is still an original song. Is it really that derivative of Mashed Potato? Because I listened to it.
I think it is. What it does successfully, I think, is pull from a lot of different sources. And what it does then that I think makes it the Halloween song is it manages to infuse, like, I mean, any like Halloween special you can think of, right? Like my go-to sure. kids Halloween special is the Scooby-Doo and Shaggy thing where they're like, they go, what is it, the Ghoul School? The uh-huh. Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul, they go like they're the counselors, whatever, with all the daughters of all the famous Universal monsters. And yeah. it's just anything that is pulling from all of those like canon Universal monster things. It is like it's Santa and the Elves. Like that's the closest you're gonna get to the like Mount Rushmore of Halloween.
Yeah, and with Halloween, there's commercial Halloween and also the dark side of Halloween. I most people I know who love Halloween, it's horror movies. You know, it's the scariness of it all. But then I do know people to where it's like I just like decorating the yard. I like having that playful scariness.
It's a little of everything, man. I'll tell you this. I feel very my love of Halloween is like it's similar to Christmas in that it just the atmosphere feels different. Like there's something about like the sense of magic. Like autumn overall to me is just a beautiful season. But there's something about
I can get behind that.
Like I love a lot of like more kind of young adult-esque or children narrative things of Halloween too. Like Something Wicked This Way Comes. Like I think Ray Bradbury's kind of the like to me the king of autumn writing. Like that autumn.
God, all I can like, think of is the Martian Chronicles.
I think there's a version, yeah. right? I mean, he's summer yeah. too, Dandelion Wire, but like Halloween yeah. Tree, Something Wicked This Way Comes, October Country, the October Country. These are all like. The majesty, the magic, the mystery, right, of that season. And yeah. I appreciate the dark. I mean, that's Terrifier. That's 1,000 Corpses. This song, I think, is, for all of its hokiness, it does capture some of that. It captures the kind of the goofy, I mean, I don't know, how many of those older Universal Monster movies have you watched?
So you're talking like Dracula, Frankenstein.
Yeah, Bride of Frankenstein. And yeah.
Not many. Honestly, the first one that pops into my head is Young Frankenstein, and that doesn't count.
It does, except, here's the thing. Watch Bride of Frankenstein. You'd be shocked. I teach that in one of my classes. And
naturally.
I love those older films. They're also weird. Like I think people who don't watch a lot of older movies can underestimate the like actual quality of those films. I think it's easy to look at them and be like, things are different, and they are. They're slower.
Sure, yeah. But anybody who's a big fan of CGI, it's like you got to have some patience for some of the black and white films because there's magic in the creation of that.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's a craft to that. And I think what's also interesting, like about Bride of Frankenstein, for example, it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like it's meant to be funny as much as like.
Okay.
One of my students watched it for the first time, and then she went, "Wow! Like I had no idea." How close it actually is to Young Frankenstein, even the vibes.
Yeah.
Like it has a kind of absurdity to it. And so I think there's something about Monster Mash to me that fills in that mode. Like those older Universal films weren't taking themselves super seriously and they weren't treated super seriously.
Well, and on the plus side, it's an homage to those classic monster films.
And yeah, I think that's something that even like the us struggling, right, with this song, it's funny how much that mirrors a lot of like the earlier forms of like horror and that, where it's schlock, right? And it kind of is, but I've kind of built my life around schlock.
Well, but then eventually, just sticking to the Halloween spirit of it all, because I mean, like, yeah, we could definitely say Monster Mash fits into that schlock, you know, that silliness of it. But eventually, Halloween does find that place to where it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is probably more appropriate for our next Halloween episode. But I would say that like the evolution of Halloween does reach gory while still being in that vein of schlock.
It's hard. I think I can admit this on a podcast. I'll just go ahead and say it. If it was culturally acceptable for a 37-year-old man to go trick-or-treating, I'd go this year. I think
I can't remember the last time I went trick-or-treating. Oh, I can actually, but
my niece, I went down a couple of years ago to go with my nieces, and that was so fun. Like, just to see it with them trick-or-treating.
On the plus side, you had a kid with you, so you didn't seem like that weird.
I was not just walking around going, hey, candy for me. I like my adult Halloween now. Like, we carve pumpkins, we watch scary movies, I drink pumpkin beer. It's all fun. I get Reese's. It's like my little treat.
This year, candy corn.
Candy. I am going to eat candy corn for you.
There buddy. We go. Yeah.
But I think that it is at the heart, like most holidays. I think this is true. With Christmas, right, there's a kid-like quality to those things that if you love the holiday, that's what stays.
I think that's what you kind of nailed it. The nostalgia factor behind these is, it's just like at the end of every year, give me a little bit of nostalgia before I have to dive into another year.
Yeah, and I think when we were talking about Christmas, it's funny. I think most of our like Muppet Christmas, all of our Christmas songs, we struggle to separate how we felt about those from like growing up and just singing Jingle Bells. And like, you know, both of our picks, right, are like in a lot of ways very like the Charlie Brown Christmas special, right?
Yeah.
And Willie Nelson, by the way, that's still, thank you for bringing that album into my life, buddy.
Oh, every year you should listen to it for Christmas. I've done it for, I don't know, my entire life.
Regular rotation though.
Yeah.
It is great. But I think
have you listened to it in May? It won't work.
it won't work. Well, and very similar, listen to Monster Mash in September. Does it work?
It's already a little strange listening to it at the beginning of October.
So I think that's the thing, is I've been listening to this song since I was little, and it's always just been, yeah, that's the Halloween song. And so even there is something very childlike about it, in like kind of like you said, bringing in the more whimsical side of Halloween, that it does no harm. It is hard to criticize because it is not seeking to harm anyone.
I'm only slightly getting ahead of ourselves. I can't wait to see how we're gonna rate this song.
I told you this is gonna end some friendships. I'm worried.
If it's better than My Girl, I'm gonna be upset.
Can I say one thing though?
You can say Bobby, more than one.
What did I do, man? I gotta stop that. Can I say 8 things?
All right, I'm counting.
Number one.
All right.
I know I was just talking about the backup singers, which I'm trying to find who those backup singers are. I cannot find a person.
Supposedly that's like just kind of lost in the ether of the annals of history. Like there's no. Yeah, there are some people who are credited to this that's been disproven.
I think the drummer from The Ventures was supposedly on this track. I would love to know who they are, but
say supposedly before any of them.
Supposedly. Yeah. The Bobby Pickett, like his vocal performance, I am very impressed with. I mean, it's all in character, right? He's not singing, he's talking.
Yeah. Sing talking. I got
it. It is a William Shatner, like there's no melody. And yet
Shatner's a great reference for it. Yeah.
Yeah, very. It's like a very spoken word, right? And yet it's like a mirage. I think it's because the music and the background vocals, I hear melody, but there is none. It's like da 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 dun da dun da.
It'd be interesting to try to pick it out on a piano.
it's more rhythmic than melodic, right?
That's a good way of putting it. It's performative. You know, it's theater in audio.
And it's just my wife and I have been doing it all afternoon. They did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
It is obviously, or it's like the kind of like Boris Karloff, like slash Dracula, right? There's like a lot in that little mixture, but he makes it compelling.
He does. I mean, what's your favorite lyric in the song?
Oh,
I can almost guarantee we're going to agree on it. I can almost guarantee.
I don't know about that. I actually found way more than I thought I would. There's like a narrative to this song. That's the other thing.
Of course, it's a story. Yeah.
And like one that I actually find weirdly interesting and compelling. It's like Dracula like feeling left out. And by the end, it's like, hey, we're all buddies, man. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, everybody's just dancing at the end.
It's a song about inclusivity after feeling like life has passed him by. Like, he's like, what about my dance? The Transylvania Twist. And everyone's like, hey, man.
That's my favorite line. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So like, whatever happened to the Transylvania Twist? It became the mash.
I actually, if I'm thinking of the the rhyme schemes, like the rhyme choices to this,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's AABB, right? And.
Yeah.
I feel like we were just talking about it.
We were last time.
It is in all the verses. It is strictly AABB.
You're saying AABB, right?
Yeah. Okay. Night sight, rise surprise, mash smash, flash mash, yep. East feast. So
I thought there was more variants to it, but after a while, I just kind of it was just white noise in the background.
No, it is surprisingly tight, yeah. And I there's a couple I like. I love the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes.
Electrodes is an interesting word to sneak into a song.
Well, I can unpack. I think electrodes is the end goal. Like, I think they had electrodes. And then to use abodes, I don't know. It's something where I appreciate it. I think it's funny. We were just talking about Be Your Own Pet and me taking issue with a review calling them witty. I find parts of this song witty. I do.
I find the general spirit of it witty.
I think
let me bring up the lyrics on my own end.
Yeah, look. I'm telling you, from my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. Like, there's real imagery. There's world building. There is a pulling from every single Halloween centric, universal thing you can.
From my laboratory in the castle east, that is one of my favorite poetry or lyric approaches. From my east castle, instead it's from my castle east, to where it's setting up the next rhyme. I love lines like that,
and that's very folk actually. A lot of folk songs have done play with the syntax of things. I agree, and it's sonnets too. It's that goes back. That's an older form. I could just okay. To bring this one. If I'm going off of my favorite lyrics, I think the Dracula Transylvania Twist is a great one. Mm-hmm. I do love that abodes and electrodes. Same with Castle East. The coffin bangers about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker 5. That's just a badass name for a band, man.
That's the hypothetical band behind all of this. Because
right.
Then the girls start singing along.
Yeah.
It's just it's like he was queuing it up for him.
The one I think is, there's a couple I think are a little bit more tortured, right? I love the zombies are having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. I think every line has a punchline to it, and that one is just his son was also invited.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is when I heard that lyric, because this is the first time I've ever listened to this song, really analyzing the lyrics.
Yeah,
I was like, is there a movie? Like, I know there's Frankenstein's Bride. Is there a Dracula's son out there that I never knew about?
Dude, get woke. Get woke. There is some stuff going on in this song.
Currently happening. I'm waking up right now.
I am trying.
But for reals, is there any Dracula's son movie?
No. Oh, nah, I think there is likely. I think like a lot of those Universal things, they did so many sequels. Like they had like Frankenstein, everything. And a lot of them would be.
That's fair.
There is no like canon Dracula's son that I could think of. There's a Son of Dracula film, which I figured so.
I feel like that fits in. But if it's not canon, like I get it. Yeah. I was struggling with this the other day when it came to like comic book movies, like where I went down a stupid rabbit hole of trying to figure out the canon behind Marvel.
You know, that's
it branches off so much more. I'm totally cool with multi-universe. Just
I think with those things, just those movies were successful and they were just like, how many more versions of this can we make? So it's like they have the Elvis and Costello and the Mummy, like, and Frankenstein and like there's so many. Like, they didn't take those IPs seriously back then, which I think is arguably like up to Monster Mash, that tradition continues.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that today those stories become like Dracula and Frankenstein now, like those versions today, it's almost accepted that they have to be these like deeper, I think there's a literary quality to it all. Like they're more, people are more fixed on like Dracula, the novel, Frankenstein, the novel, and the Universal ones they're hokey. And there's like there's a beauty to that.
Well, no matter what, something gets lost in film anyway when it comes to novels transitioning.
I think that's fair. The Yankees are weirdly making a game of this. It is 13-7 now. Middle of the seventh.
I'm not going to check the fantasy football. It is already just...
I think that's fair. I think that's good.
Clearly I am.
No, the Dracula's son I found hilarious. The other one was the... what was this? The scene was rocking. All were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The scene was rocking. All were digging the sounds. I think that is maybe the worst lyric.
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm gonna make notes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. If we're gonna find something to criticize in this song, let me try.
That's
it as well.
That's the I guess you'd say that's that version where it's just it's. This is the word salad. That's the empty calorie to get to what they actually want to say.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to agree with you on that. Just because, obviously.
What I hope I'm getting across is this. I think lyrically, this song's pretty damn good. Like, it is, like, for what it is setting out to accomplish, and it does it, and I think it's, like, surprisingly, and when I say surprisingly, everybody, I really mean... These songs have no reason to be smart and no reason to be well crafted. That's the whole point. And yet I'm impressed. I don't know what to say.
When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you. I can dissect pretty heavily.
I like that. It's like a very like, yeah, man, welcome to the party.
I guess my issue was them in it. Tell them Boris sent you to her. It's like you're at my door.
He's mashing with Drac in the band in the Kicker 5, he's playing host, man.
Honestly, if the house is rocking, don't bother knocking. Come on in.
Just come on in. I just love that they give resolution. Now everything's cool. Drac's a part of the band. I'm like, good. I actually was worried about that.
It does fit into what you're saying, though, to where there's a complete story behind the song.
It's shocking to me. I really like. I hope people recognize. I'm not being tongue in cheek here. I'm shocked in listening to this. Like, it makes me want to go back and listen to other Christmas songs. Be like, what am I missing? Like, is there a? I know there's a narrative to some of these.
I want to know how to do the dance.
Yeah, is there a dance? That's a good question.
Yeah.
They're referring to it as if it is a dance, and is it just the mashed potato?
From my research. Yes.
Okay. Well, follow-up question. How do you do the mashed potato?
I'm pretty sure it's so you take a potato. I have no idea. I'm no dancer.
I think this is a perfect ending point to this discussion.
I think we're ready for segment three.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We are going to rate this out of 100 because that's what we do on this podcast.
Why not?
For a single song.
Well, we could always change it up. and do out of 1,000 for holiday songs.
I'm fine with that. Okay. On the spot. Go. Johnny on the spot. Let's do it, everybody.
Going to break.
DJ Brute is happy to bring you a proper session of music listening at the beginning of every week on Twitch. With rotating themes showcasing new music, hits of the past, and specific genres, there is most definitely something for everyone to enjoy. Tune in every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time as he broadcasts nothing but musical goodness live from the comfort of his home to the comfort of yours. Bedroom Radio, where there are no Monday blues, just Monday vibes. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Dango, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
You can bring us back.
Hey, fuckers. Welcome back.
This is awful right now. I really thought I was going to have to walk you through other things. And to hear this is like a 60% something I did to you. Carlo's going to have to answer for
this. He's got a time machine. He's got a fucking time machine. I'm convinced.
Well, I'm prepared to rate the song out of 1,000 but I'm also more than prepared to rate it out of 100.
Let's just do our usual out of 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was My Girl again?
For me?
Yeah. It was like 95, right?
It was like 90, 95. Yeah. I thought very highly of it. Oh, our friendship is about to end. Okay, go ahead.
Here's what I do want to say. It's not that. I don't actually know how to write this. Same. Lyrically, this song is better than My Girl.
No, it's not. It is lyrically better.
It has more respect for its audience, lyrically.
I disagree, but okay. Okay. You wanna try to give me your thesis on this?
I've broken down why I think the lyrics are actually really great. Like, it is the same reason when I watch James Whale direct Frankenstein or Bride of Frankenstein. James Whale is one of my favorite film directors. He made a lot of horror films, right? He also made The Invisible Man. He made The Old Dark House. These are like older films from like the 40s, the 50s, where there is like technical craft in what he did, even though what was on the screen you could dismiss as hokey. Like, there's a lot of thought. There's like some of those films are still today is like seen as some of the best horror films. Like Bride of Frankenstein is like one of the greatest horror films, if not the greatest ever made. Gotcha. And when I see Monster Mash, do I think it is an incredible put it in the pantheon? Of course not. But I acknowledge there is craft. I will acknowledge that. And I think lyrically, it is a smart song. I know this is weird.
Is this synthesia or what? How do you say that word? Synthetor, like.
I can see colors that you cannot see.
Yeah.
I think it's just looking
I've only heard the song, but
it's all the rhyme scheme. I don't know. Like, you and I both know the whole point of rhymes, right? Is you don't want to see the tape holding the song together. And you want to lead people. If it's like moving from rhyme to rhyme, you want to lead them in a way that feels engaging. You don't want them to just like guess, right? And it feel really quotidian, and everything is just kind of like pointless. Like, what are we doing here? I think there is an appeal to that kind of songwriting on a very base level. This is the same way that there's an appeal to like really schlocky sitcom shows, like shows who don't take their audience seriously. It is easy to just kind of get swept away by dumb lyricism.
Embrace it, yeah.
I think this is one of those songs where it is dumb, right? The chorus is dumb, and yet the verses allow, I am as shocked as anyone else if you're hearing me say this. There is an artful, interesting way that they go from rhyme to rhyme. Like, Abodes to Electrodes, I don't think I've ever
heard
Electrodes
was
in a song.
That was really going to hold you in. All right.
It's great. I mean, and like the cast, like, they're, like, again, things where it is so hokey that it feels like if I reach out to touch them to praise them, they vanish. Like, that's how. And when I was initially talking about this song, I was like, this song seems to exist in a nether space where there is no art, there is no anything. There's just this song. I don't know how to talk about it. 90. Sure. To 90.
All right. Well, okay. I can get behind a 90 if we specify novelty tunes.
Okay. Let me put my rating in a little more context.
Okay.
I try to do this anyway. I don't think people think I do. But when we talk about songs of different genres, bands, mm-hmm. I try to consider within the tradition they're working from or whatever feels to be like their thing. Are they successful at that thing? I think there is a rumor that I hate ska, and so any band that is in the ska space, I would give a 3.5 out of 10, for example, as I
don't
did
feel like that's on
Streetlight Manifesto.
Yeah,
I will say one thing. Streetlight Manifesto is, to their own credit, not ska. They're punk with horns.
There you go.
And if they're a punk with horns band, don't get me started on if I think they're a good punk band. The answer is, come on, buddy. I am actually saying, like, it is trying to be a novelty song. It is out to achieve a particular thing. If we're talking about a pop song, I'd do the same thing. Do I think your typical pop song is better than Let It Be or My Girl? Sure. Or any of those? No. Not like in my own value judgment, but success. Like, is it successful in what it strives to do? I think this song is very successful. I think it is in the novelty Christmas oriented holiday songs that we've talked about. I find it wildly successful in a holiday that, again, the degree of difficulty to write a Halloween song, high.
And to make it chart number one.
Like, every year it makes like $1 million in growth. And, like, I hate chart, like, you know, praising something based off of money, but it's just the lasting power of this song. Like, there is no other Halloween song.
I will say I like this song so much more than All I Want for Christmas. And
there
those two,
go.
Very comparable to success within the holiday song spirit.
Yeah.
But given the fact that I don't like this song as much as I like Let It Be or Dylan or My Girl, I'm going to give this just based off of the songs. Like, I appreciate your approach from kind of judging it based off of the genre or the approach it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to judge it off of it being a song. I mean,
that you
50.
Sure.
Yeah.
When it comes to
the musicianship, when it comes to the composition of it all, I'm like, all right, this is really stupid. But yes, if I do take it from the novelty approach, 100. It's probably the best, like, compared to most Christmas songs, compared to most Halloween songs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That is a challenging thing. So much so that, like, if I can find it, cut this if we can't. But I am willing to let you put on this podcast. I wrote a novelty song when I lived in Oakland. It was for a fake TV show that I wanted to, like, make one day, and I wrote a theme song too. And it's called Vampire High.
100 years ago, I was a normal teenage kid. But all of that turned upside down the day that I was bit by an ancient demon monster. He made me part of his family. And now I'm here in normal times, learning to be me. Vampire high, vampire high. I'm just living my life, vampire high. Vampire, well, sometimes it can suck. I got lots of really great friends to help times get rough. Everything gets twisted in this road that we call life. But I got something to help me, and I call it vampire high. Vampire high, vampire high. I'm just living my life, vampire high. Vampire high, vampire high. I'm just living my life, vampire high.
love that.
It is hard to do, but here's, I don't know why I'm defending this, because I do not care about our ranking system. It's so arbitrary and stupid, but
I'm going to go to sleep tonight thinking about this.
I know you will. The Let It Be, and I think I was like an 85. And what I said there that I meant is there are better Beatles songs. There are better Bob Dylan songs. Like the ideal of both those, like neither of those are ones. I would not talk about Rolling Stone if I wanted to discuss what I think makes Bob Dylan great. Like, and so in that way, I think there's versions of those episodes where it is clearly higher because I think they reach something more successfully. That's the only way I would defend putting this at 90 is... There's nothing to compare this to. What other Halloween novelty song can I compare this to that's written more successfully?
All right. So I'm gonna totally flip the script again. So you give it a 900.
I give it a 900.
A 900 out of 1,000. I will give it an. I'll give it a 900 out of 1,000. When it comes,
guess what I would give My Girl out of 1,000.
No, this is
899, buddy.
Specifically, we're doing out of 1,000 from now on for novelty songs.
No, it's 90.
I ain't giving it a fucking 90 when it comes to songs. I'm giving it
Casey,
a 900.
Casey, can you write this down for future perpetuity? 90 for me, 900 for Rob.
Yes.
Happy Halloween.
He's not talking to his wife, by the way. He's talking to our loyal listener.
Our loyal listener, please. Yeah. My Lord.
Which sadly is not your wife.
I come out of this and she's like, oh, what are you up to? I'm like, yeah, just talking to Rob. Yeah, no, she wasted
2 hours.
She's very supportive of this podcast.
I love her.
She's very supportive.
Big hugs.
I think we are at a space now where, so next episode, we are going to be discussing Nightmare Before Christmas, the soundtrack.
I'll be watching it for the first time, guys. It's going
to
be.
I'm excited to talk. I think here's what can I do a culture Robus?
Yes.
I got to say that Tom Petty episode, everybody, that is a huge episode for us because not only does it, there is a clue in that episode to some future episodes coming in, but that is the first time we do culture Robus. Is that episode?
Hey.
It is I think it's up there for me. That's like a top five.
It's a good one. It's definitely in my top 60.
It's got to be, right? Yeah. Oh, and what is our 60s? We haven't even figured this out. We're almost done with our 60s.
Yeah, that's true.
We've done dirty 30s, filthy 40s. We didn't do any 50s. I don't know what we were in the 50s.
The mixy 60s.
You're saying it like we agreed on this. We did not agree on the mixy 60s.
I just feel like we've mixed it up. We're
mixing it. Yeah, you know, okay, the mixy 60s. That's... Yeah. I can't wait for
you got
our
anything
actual
better?
60s. I got nothing.
Yeah.
And speaking of not having anything better, our next song spotlight episode.
So Colton and I tried on this. We were really trying to think, okay, what do we do for November? Obviously, everybody thinks the same thing. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're in a, like, the end of the year, we are in the winding down in terms of, like, we know we have some themed episodes coming up.
Yeah.
And December belongs to Rob.
Yeah.
Halloween belongs to me. Trying to figure out what to do in November, both as Rob mentioned, like as a Thanksgiving theme, but also just it's like who gets the kids on the weekend? Like,
yeah. I mean, and I believe we both do we agree on which side of daylight savings? Like, I want to keep it the way it is now. But
I don't like daylight savings. I don't.
I think we need to get rid of it. Nobody.
I want to be on record. I think we are a anti-daylight savings. Yes. The farmers are fine. The farmers can handle it.
That's why we're in a bad mood. We're not going to be thankful. We're going to cover a song that we don't think is good.
So are we, though? I think I'm already getting to the root of this episode that's coming up. That's just a fascinating choice that we came to together. It's beautiful that we came to it together.
Yes. I'm sorry, guys. I both like this song, but also recognize how it's a bad song.
And I guess that's maybe where we're going to have to cut. There's going to be some come to Jesus moments.
Yeah.
In this upcoming episode, let's give the listener some guesses. Can the listener?
I'll give the first one. You give the second one. I'll give the third. All right.
I hope we're about the
end.
I literally was saying, I hope we're on the same page, buddy. Look at that. Look at us.
This
we are
a
on
match
the same
made in heaven.
Page. Can we talk about the flying whales? Is that going to come up at all? The flying whale alien creatures?
Are you talking about what, the Avengers?
Do me a favor, buddy.
Watch music
the video
again
for this song.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It is.
And no, we're not wild. Doing it's been a while.
I think Linkin Park is one of those bands that has reached a level of fame while having what I consider to be the worst music videos of that generation. They are atrocious.
I liked the one where it was from behind and just the silhouettes. I thought that was kind of a cool concept. It was nice and simplified.
There's a lot to talk about with Linkin Park. I think
we're not doing an album, everybody. We're not doing the discography.
No, we're not. Although I think because this is like our only time we're going to talk about Linkin Park this is me saying it to speak it into being. Like I want that to be true.
All right.
I'm gonna shoot every bullet I got on this band because
not from the hip too. He's going to be aimed and ready.
And I know I'm going to say it when we get to that episode, so I'll just say it right now. I think. In my teenage years, was there an album I listened to more than Hybrid Theory? Like preteen, right? This is like pre-high school, I'll say. No, like the answer is no. I listened to Hybrid Theory every day, multiple times a day. From eighth grade, that was like all I did. And yeah. So there's a lot to atone for, I think.
That's what it's really going to be. It's just being thankful for music. That's what we're going to be doing, everybody.
Thankful.
And maybe a little judgmental.
So here you go, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy being alive on this planet and not being in a fantasy football league. Enjoy Halloween. Have fun.
I'm afraid to look.
And enjoy, life, everything. I don't know. I just want to get you in a better mood before we hang up.
It's not working.
Hopefully Vampire High is playing right now. Enjoy Vampire High. If not, then I will find a way to rewrite it to play it for you. I'll find it.
Yeah. Pretty sure the outro music's fine.
I think we're done. I think the song is...